Hello, welcome to Good in a Crisis 5A. A? So this is just a short version of the podcast where I'm in conversation with two of our volunteers talking about their experiences and why you might want to call our helpline. Okay, well, good morning. This is Good in a Crisis number 5, and today I've got two people with me who are volunteering on our newest service, the COVID-19 Volunteers Debrief Line. First, I'll sort of tell you a bit about the service. So it started a couple of months ago. I was asked if I could lead on this project. And it was an idea that had come up from a sort of steering group between a number of voluntary sector organisations and the council, where they wanted to provide some kind of support service for the frontline volunteers within Leeds who are doing things like delivering food and medicines and so on. Because there'd been feedback from volunteers that they'd been talking to people who sometimes really struggling, sometimes even feeling suicidal. So yeah, it's unusual to start a service in this way. Normally there's all sorts of specification about what a service is going to look like, and all this stuff is drawn up months in advance of actually beginning it. But in this case, we had to get the actual practical side of things going as quickly as possible and then sort out a lot of the admin after. So for example, one of the first things I did was contact all the potential volunteers. We were given a list of names and contact details of people that had volunteered for the initial effort, but it mentioned they had some counselling or listening skills or experience, of which you two were in that group. So with me today, I've got Rebecca.
Hey.
And Claire.
Hello.
Well, I'll tell you what, shall I hand it over to you two now? Introduce yourselves and tell people a bit about you and what's got you interested in this kind of thing.
Rebecca, you can go first.
As soon as I got the email from Barry, I instantly said yes, because I'm a training counsellor and I've just basically got my diploma for it, so I'm very new. And I'm wanting the experience and the training hours. I've got several powers that you see, so I'm not high risk than some people, but I need to be more careful. I was self-isolating for like 13 weeks. And then when the shops opened, I started going out. So I've been going out for about a month now.
So I'm a counsellor as well. I did my diploma, I think, 10 years ago or something. Well, I moved in to live with my parents just in this lockdown period. Mm. But I moved to my parents just as soon as lockdown happened because my mum's poorly, and I just thought it'd be quite nice to isolate altogether.
And now we've been officially up and running since, I think it's about four. Is this about the fourth week now?
Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
Yeah. And it works, but interestingly, there's not been the demand that was anticipated.
There was a momentum building with the DBS checks and everything, and then the service was opened, and there was the kind of nervousness about whether you'd get any calls or not, and then we didn't get any calls. So that's both good. Hopefully, there's no need for the calls, but also, you wonder if.
Yeah.
But they just don't know about it or something.
Yeah. So it was initially only promoted to the people that were volunteering through Leeds Council's scheme. Yes, but now we're talking about, well, how can we drum up a bit more business?
I'm quite interested to see how it is when I get a call.
I mean, it's interesting. I've been obviously been talking to the staff and so on that work here over the last, it's nearly 4 months now, isn't it? April, May, June, July. And there's been a definite change in how people have felt over this period. The long-term effects of a big traumatic incident like this, I think, are going to be very interesting, but sort of emotionally, I suspect that there will become more demand for this kind of service as time goes on. Yeah, even with lockdown easing sort of stuff taking place. As people come out of a period of crisis, they'll maybe suddenly start to realise how they've been feeling all this time or something like that.
How was that experience for you, Rebecca, in like coming out of this isolation period and then opening up a little bit?
It's been weird. Like the first day I went out, it was weird just to see people.
Yeah.
Because the only people I've seen is my parents, or people on Zoom or over FaceTime, so it was actually weird to actually see people.
Because I think I feel really different now than I did in the initial, you know, when the pandemic first got diagnosed as a pandemic, and the panic was just palpable everywhere. Everyone was just frightened. And I can imagine. So I was sort of locked down because my parents were self-isolating. So I was not going to the supermarket when I was living with them. And then coming back to Leeds was a bit of a, that kind of moment of not necessarily freedom. And I certainly don't feel free now.
Because before this, I was out every day and I was never in. And just going here, there and everywhere. And the fact that we just abruptly couldn't anymore.
Rather than this thing that was looming, it suddenly became, okay, this is a reality. And I can really relate to what you're saying about the, suddenly something changed and there was a real sense of you can't go out. And I think that really shifts your mindset, shifts your thinking. Yeah.
It's weird. It's like a war, but not a war.
Yeah.
There were a lot of parallels drawn with the Second World War. I heard a really interesting program on Radio 4, just like in the first couple of weeks of lockdown, where they talked about like society's reaction to the Blitz and people being told they had to stay inside and like, you know, not have any lights on and stuff like that. And it was remarkably similar to how everyone was feeling and how the media were reporting things in lockdown.
And hopefully there'll be, there'll be some amazing things to come out of it as well. But I worry about the kids and the kids whose natural reaction is just to hug or to touch or to run up to their grandparents or whatever and cuddle them. And you hear stories about kids who just like, no, they don't even try to hug them now. They just wave at the window. That is just, you know, if you think about what we learn in our psychology training, it's all about how things can shut down, can't they?
We might not even go to hug someone again now because we'll be so used to doing it this way now that we'll forget that we can actually have contact with people again.
But that's why I like what you say when you tell people that you want to hug them. I'm definitely doing that. I'm like saying, I really want to hug you right now, especially with kids. I'm doing that a lot with kids. Like I'm finding it really hard not to squeeze your hand right now or something. And then it's just like the urge, they know that the impetus is there or something. It's nice to talk about it though, isn't it? I think, and that brings us up to the point of this, the helpline in some ways. You know, you were asking like why do you want to do this? And I think the more opportunities people have to talk about their experiences, if they can to talk about it in a connected way, like to just drop into themselves and just go, oh, this is hard, this is great. I'm really enjoying not having to hug X, Y, and Z, but I hate not hugging so and so.
I think it's important because we do have feelings and emotions and we are going through this just like anyone else.
Absolutely, and I think it's really important to not put yourself on a pedestal of I'm okay and I've got it and I'm immune to feeling anxious or, you know, it's absolute rubbish, isn't it? And the more that you can be in touch with your own distress, I think it can help you to be in touch with other people's.
This is something that I've been thinking about, all those frontline volunteers that have been going on effectively as though life is normal. I don't mean normal because obviously things have been so different, but they have been part of a privileged group, if you like, that have been well enough and felt confident enough to go out and help people. So they would have been going to, I don't know, to shops or to chemists or whatever, going to people's homes, and that sort of movement, that social interaction with lots of different people that they'll have had every day will have kept them sort of emotionally much healthier than those of us that have been stuck in a house and limited with our social contact and so on. But I wonder if that will also in a way act as a false sense of confidence. I've spoke to one person who rang up the helpline, actually. He was telling me how it's been like a really rewarding period for him. So he's really felt like he's been able to give back to people that were quite vulnerable. But at the same time, it has been like a massive shock for all our nervous systems that we've gone through this. So, you know, those of us that are suffering a bit, it's easy for us to identify what we've been through. But for people that actually have been feeling good about the last few months, it may come a little bit under the radar at some point, the effects of everything they've been through.
Especially when everything does calm down, because there will be an ending at some point. They might keep going and then suddenly they might get a rush of emotion, but then hopefully they don't just feel, oh, we can't ring now because we've been saying we're all right for so long. I hope that doesn't happen to people.
Well, this is one of the messages I want to get out, is that you don't have to be talking about volunteer experiences from the last week or the last month or something. It can be just the combined impact of stuff that you've been through. I think it's
even just to frame it as to talk about your experience of COVID, because, like, you know, Rebecca and I have just been talking, haven't we, about our personal circumstances, and in some ways they're volunteers, but you don't just have to talk about your volunteer experience. You could talk about, like, the fact that you've got someone who's shielding, or that you're having arguments with your husband or your wife, or kids are driving you up the wall because you're homeschooling. You know, it's all relevant, isn't it? I just need to log in to me. I'm on call now and I'm like 9:15.
It's fine, don't worry.
me too. So we must be on the same shift then, because I should be on.
Oh, should you? Oh, is there more than one person on shift? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's up to 4.
Oh, fab. Well, that makes me feel less pressured. I thought it was just me.
Oh, no. I mean, on some occasions, it might be just you. The rotor's kind of a little bit of a
patchwork.
Yeah, it's a bit of a patchwork. So there are some periods where there'll be three. I'm not sure we got actually 4 people on at one time, but there's definitely periods where we've got 3 people on. Thank you very much both for your input today. It's been really interesting and helpful for me to hear about your experiences recently.
No worries.
Nice to meet you, Carl.
Yeah, and you, Rebecca, as well. Take care.
All right, thank you very much.
See ya.
That was a very abridged version of the full episode of the podcast about the helpline. Good in a Crisis episode 5 is available from our website, dialhouseleads.com.